Hello, and welcome back to the Couplehood Podcast. In today's episode, it is the final episode of our Sandbox Spotlight series, which features conversations with real-life couples talking about their real-life experiences, navigating the four relationship seasons, and developing better communication skills and deepening their connection. My guests for this episode are Sarah and Steve. They have been together for 14 years and have four children. Their kids are 9, 7, 4, and 2 years old. This year has been a really big year for Sarah and Steve, and you're going to hear at the very beginning of our conversation, they each took the relationship season quiz, and it's interesting because they had different results. So that is a really, really common situation, and you're going to hear about why. Why did they have different results? And they are, for the most part, in the coping season right now because over the past year, they have had multiple external factors pulling their time and energy away from each other. So if you are a couple who has had a full year, for Sarah and Steve, they have had home renovations, a life-changing bicycle accident. Steve lost his job and is now finding a new flow as a freelancer, not to mention a pandemic. So there have been multiple external factors that have pulled their time and energy away from each other. And with so many life events happening at once, of course, it's really important for us to acknowledge that it is hard to carve out time for our couple. And having that awareness around the relationship seasons and the tools that you learn through being in Couples Sandbox, our online membership for parents to reclaim their passion and play. This is how we move through the seasons together, feeling connected, feeling empowered, building trust and communication. In our conversation, Sarah and Steve share how they move past their initial hesitations around joining Sandbox, because let's be honest, group calls can seem scary. And what's really neat, and I love Steve particularly here, he shares his process around feeling anxious around that and not wanting to be on camera and not wanting to be seen, and then coming around to just feeling so connected with the other couples in the community because it's a place where everybody gets it and we're relating to each other and normalizing the challenges that every couple goes through. And when you do that together as a couple with other couples who are in the same page as you, it helps prompt meaningful conversation with you and your partner, right? So it's this reminder that community brings connection not only with others, but with you and your partner specifically. All right, you guys, I know you are gonna love this conversation with Sarah and Steve. They keep it real. They have four kids. They're able to find humor through it all. So let's dive in. You're listening to the Couplehood Podcast, a podcast designed for parents who want to keep their romantic relationship thriving and build their most intentional life. I'm your host, Allison Villa, psychotherapist and relationship expert. Sarah, Jane, and Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm so excited to have you here today. We've been on quite a journey together, and we were doing a little chit-chat before we hit record about, you know, starting the Couples Tune-Up and now continuing with Couples Sandbox. And yeah, I'm really excited for everyone to hear your story. Okay, so let's start first. What relationship season are you in right now?
Go ahead.
Because I was talking about it before. Yeah, no, funny little anecdote. I took the quiz just before coming on, and I'm like, just to kind of, you know, get a refresher. I'm pretty sure I knew what season I was in, but took the quiz, and then so the quiz, it came back and emailed me saying that you're in the connected season, and I'm like, wait a second, no, we're definitely, well, I think I'm in coping, like totally, like 100% coping season. And then, so I think I like tapped a wrong question or filled it out wrong, just trying to do it too fast. But yeah, no, it's been tough. It continues to be, I think, a tough time for us. We're in the middle of a reno, and, you know, we have four kids. You know, in the last year and a half, I've lost my job. I got into like a life-changing accident, which I'm about 90% recovered from. And, you know, it goes back to I'd love for us to be like connected and more connected, but it's really tough, you know, because of, you know, the time commitment to the kids. You know, I'm freelancing now, which is, this is a new thing for me, and it's, so far it's good, but it's super busy. So there's a lot of kind of parental duties that get kind of forced upon Sarah, and I think we're both feeling it. I feel guilty because I see her like working so hard, and it's like literally we don't have time to just have a drink. And like we were talking about this before, you know, let's have a drink tomorrow, which is Friday, because we haven't done it in so long. And we were a bit nomadic because we were living at my parents for 2 months, and then Sarah's parents as well in Nova Scotia. We just got back from there. Our house isn't ready. We're at her friend's house now for a week. So there's it's like massive kind of upheaval in our life right now. So long story short, definitely in the coping, but aiming for connected, hopefully soon.
I find that so interesting that you answer the questions, and I know you. I know you're a very detail-oriented person, and you would have been very intentional with how you answered each one. I know you're not like, I'm just going to flippantly answer each one of these. I know you. And so it's interesting to me that you got connected season, but there's this part of you that deeply, like you said, we are 100% in coping. There's no way we're connected. And because of the situation, right? The external factors in your life, the reno, the job change, the being nomadic because you're out of your home while it's being renoed, all of these, right, exterior things, the accident, huge, huge things. Of course, those things take your time and energy. And it's very interesting that even scoring in the connected season, it also shows that there are some foundational pieces that are very much strong and in place and in practice. So that says a lot to me. I would love to hear from you, Sarah, and your perspective on this and what you scored. And yeah, tell us, what did you score when you did your relationship season quiz?
I think I would have to say I scored coping, just because all the things that Steve referenced, you know, it's just been kind of a crazy year. And, but I think that, you know, what you're saying about, you know, looking towards connected season, and also even just actually being aware of the fact that there is another season, that there are other seasons beyond this, to be honest, because I think, you know, we have, as Steve mentioned, we have 4 kids, they're all 2 years apart. And so it's kind of felt a little bit like, okay, we gain equilibrium, and then there's another baby, and then we sort of gain some equilibrium, and there's another baby. And then after the last baby, then there was a pandemic, and then there was all the other stuff that this year has brought. It's, you know, partly as a result of the pandemic and partly just, you know, life stuff. So I think, honestly, we have spent so much time in that just sort of trying to survive place that it starts to feel like, well, this is the only place. Like, is there another place? So I think that even mentioning, like, knowing now we have an awareness of like, okay, we're disconnected because we haven't given each other really any time or intentional, really it's intentional time together. And I think now we can sort of see that more, where before it was just like, oh no, we're coping. And the idea that it could be something different than it was sort of like an elusive idea.
Mm-hmm. I love that you're saying this, because this is so common when you are coping and in that season and having so many different things, external factors that are pulling all of your time and energy, you cannot see the light. Like you said, it's elusive. It's so far away, it doesn't even feel like it will happen, like you will ever get there. And I love that you're saying that, reminding yourselves that you're going to move through the seasons. And I think it's also great because you found a flow, and then you had another baby, and then you would find your flow, and then you'd have another baby. So, you know, and when I hear you say we found our flow, I'm hearing you say we got out of coping and maybe into coasting and connected, and then we had another baby. And right. So, you know, you've been through the seasons. So it's that great reminder that, all right, we won't be in coping forever. Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's backtrack a little bit. We met doing, well, we met, that's like a whole other story, but But we met in this capacity in Couples Tune-Up years ago. And we were trying to figure out if it was two or three. I think it might have been 3 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was because our youngest is like just over two now. And I think I was pregnant with her when we started it. Yeah.
So tell us what brought you to Couples Tune-Up at that time, and who was the initiator, and how did the other person feel about joining, and all of that stuff. Be honest, really be honest.
Oh, it was all Sarah. It was all Sarah. Being fully transparent, a bit squeamish about, you know, airing our dirty laundry, as it were, with a bunch of other couples, a bunch of other strangers that on video chat, to no less. At first, I thought it was just going to be like, there was going to be some anonymity with the call. And then Sarah's like, oh, no, we're on video chat. I was like, oh. And I don't know, you don't remember this, probably don't remember this, but for like the first couple of sessions, I was like sitting like this, just like off camera off left. Camera. Yeah, because it was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. But it grew on me. There's something really interesting with Tune-Up and Sandbox in regards to like just seeing that other people are vulnerable and just as vulnerable as you. And I mean, this is getting to the point fairly quickly, but like, I don't know how else to say it. It's just, I think seeing that vulnerability just makes you understand and I think comprehend that you're not alone. You know, it's like you're not on an island of despair at times when you feel like, you know, are other couples like this? You know, like, do our friends do this? Is the same thing happening with our friends? Because every time we meet, it's, you know, over, you know, drinks, they're fine and laughing. And it's like, are we the only ones? And I think what Tune Up and Sandbox did was it kind of just showed us that we're not alone, and you use the word community, which I didn't know how I was going to receive that. And again, I was a bit apprehensive, but coming out of it, you know, and looking back and reflecting, it truly is a community. We were joking after, I think, our last session, we were like, we could actually have drinks with some of the people in Sandbox. And it's just like, because there was a moment where I think you went offline, Allison, and then we were talking to a couple about their life and their kids, and like we're relating, and it's all about kind of understanding and kind of relating, and you know, knowing that, you know, you're not the only one experiencing, you know, mm-hmm. hardships at this time. So
I love that moment that you just shared, because I lost internet connection. So for those listening, okay, here I am hosting our like awesome Sunday night live Sandbox calls, and sure enough, my internet just totally disappears. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is the worst. I'm so embarrassed. It's so unprofessional. But I also knew that you guys were good. I was like, they totally get each other, you know? Everybody on the call is like, we're good, we got this. And I popped back in, and you guys were like, so we're catching you up, Allison. This is what's been going on. And I love that. And I also love, Steve, that you just shared that apprehensive feeling. And I can guarantee, you know, people who are listening are probably like, oh my gosh, like, I feel exactly like that. Like, what are we, well, I don't want to talk to complete strangers. But what's so important about what you described is that when the safe space is created, people step into it the way that you just described. And then I stepped out of it in that moment where we lost internet connection, and the safe space was still there for you. It's really cool, that description, how you painted that.
No, and there's one actually session in particular where we were discussing intimacy, and I was looking at me like, oh, I don't know about this. But I think the way you handled it and like your guidance, I'm not just saying it's because of the podcast, but you know, we've been doing this with you for a few years now. So, and it's for a reason. I think the way you kind of articulate these very, again, what could be cringeworthy topics and subjects to people who aren't used to talking about their emotions and feelings, I think you did it in such an articulate and a careful way as to really just like, I think, be mindful of everyone's feelings around a really sensitive topic. And I think it's hard to describe, but I think the way you kind of led us through that session. I think you put me at ease, and I think everyone else on the call as well. And people were talking about sex, you know, in front of other people. And it was, it sounds weird, but it was
weird when you say it like that.
But it was, you know, it was like, it, and it wasn't just like blatant. It was around intimacy, but it was like, you know, sex is a part of that. And there was jokes, you know, around it. And again, it's cool, especially in the pandemic when we're not hanging out with people a lot, to hang with people, talk about emotions, and watch people kind of let down their guard a bit. I think it was refreshing.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. All the different types of intimacy, it can be a really sensitive, vulnerable topic. So thank you for saying that. I'm so glad that you got a lot from it. And there was lightness, but there was still depth to that conversation, I remember. Thanks for that.
Mm-hmm. I just want to add, when I was thinking about, like, when Steve says he was trepidatious about tune-up, or I think tune-up before we started Sandbox, like, Steve's the kind of person who if we're at a restaurant and our table is like slightly too close to, is like in a general vicinity of another table,
can't talk.
He'll be like, stop. And I try to talk about something that's going in our life, going on. He'll be like, stop it, stop it, stop it. People are listening. So just stop. Can we just talk about something? Just talk about something normal. Just talk about something normal. So his level, when he's downplaying, honestly, his level of like maybe resistance, maybe trepidatiousness. I also think it's important to mention that when we found TuneUp, I think we were, I can't remember if we were doing couples therapy. We've kind of been in and out of couples therapy, where we've done, you know, we've seen different therapists. And honestly, so much of it was like, which I think you talk about, is the logistical planning of how to get to the therapist, how to get both of us to the therapist, the childcare required. And even also just like, to be honest, it's also like, I'm a huge fan of personal therapy, and I think it has so many benefits and for so many different reasons. But like, there's also like that intensity to it, that when you're in sort of an exhausting or challenging season of life, or like a lot is kind of being required of you because your kids are small or whatever's going on, it's just like, actually Sandbox feels a lot more accessible. Like, it's a way that it's like, okay, we can show up and sort of like, and that honestly, that kind of always surprises me. Like, I will think that, you know, we'll go to the call, even though we're not the best at necessarily doing the homework. Sometimes we have to watch the lesson 10 minutes before the call. And so I'll think like, well, we're probably not, you know, whatever. We're doing this because we said we're going to do this. And then I'm always surprised by, like, honestly, a lot of the time I'm surprised by Steve's, like what Steve says, which is a good, it's nice to actually see your partner in that context of like, oh, that's such an, in, like he, you know, he'll say something interesting, or he'll have an insight. And I don't know that it would come out in that way, you know, necessarily in a different context. So I think that's really nice. And I also think, like, I remember with TuneUp in particular, like, it really sort of forced us to like have some conversations about, like, conversations that, to be honest, I don't think we really knew that we needed to have, about like family values and these type of things. And it was like stuff that we, I think we had sort of tried to talk about, but we didn't necessarily have a framework. And so we kind of ended up having like a crossed wires, you know, we didn't necessarily come out of it, I don't think, feeling clear on where each other was or where we were as a couple. Or maybe we actually felt clear on where we each were, but we didn't know how that came together. So that part, I think, was really helpful. But it did feel like it took a little while to kind of be like, oh, you know, oh, there's something here. There's something here that keeps us coming back. And also that it's an accessible way to actually be like, oh, to be reminded that, you know, the connection is so important, and you do have to work at it and be intentional.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I love this piece about almost being pleasantly surprised that we're just going to show up for the call, even if we like barely get to watching the little video before. It doesn't even matter, right? So a reminder for those listening, the way Sandbox works is usually we have a new lesson, a new little conversation starter. It's usually 5 to 7 minutes long for people to watch. And then we meet together for the live call to discuss the new topic. And So many couples, they see the same thing. Like, we just watched it 10 minutes before. And it doesn't even matter. I even say it doesn't even matter if you've watched it, still come. You're still going to get so much from the conversation. And Sarah, what I love that you said was, you are seeing Steve through fresh eyes when he shares, right? He'll share things that you realize, oh my gosh, I'm curious about him. And he's saying something interesting. And I'm seeing him in a fresh way, in a way that if it was just the two of us having these conversations, it wouldn't be the same. And that's really neat to hear.
Yeah. And I think that's actually, I really value that part of it, because it's so difficult to see, especially, I guess, the pandemic is kind of, it's hard to see each other in other contexts, to be honest. Like, it's hard to be like, oh, this is that beautiful autonomous person who, you know, goes out in the world and has an existence away from, you know, me, and I have an existence away from him, because I think, you know, this time of us all just being together all the time, it's just kind of blurred all those lines. So it's helpful when you can be like, oh yeah, you know. And even just, I think actually even for us, like, you know, couples therapy sometimes would feel good, and sometimes it would just feel kind of like too much. Like, there was too much intensity, or it was too exhausting, or, you know, there were just that, like, dynamics, you know. And of course there's a place for it, like, for sure there's definitely a place for it, but I just feel like it was really good for us to kind of have that alternative, and to be reminded the thing Steve said about, you know, like, do our friends bickering over everything? Are our friends feeling stressed out and isolated? And, you know, there's so much stigma, honestly. I think it's hard for people to talk about what's really going on in their, people don't talk about what's really going on in their marriage, like, unless it's a, you know, a true close friend. So even just having other people, you know, be there, being like, oh, they're having the same challenges, whether they're small or whether they're bigger challenges, you know, it's really validating to just remember, like, oh, okay, we're not alone. Because it's so easy, I don't know, I find myself doing this all the time, where I just do that, fall into the comparison trap of looking at other people's lives and thinking, oh, well, they must be happier, or, you know, they must be more connected, or it must be this. And then it's being part of a community and hearing other people's stories is like, oh yes, I'm reminded that we're not alone, and lots of people have that same human experience in connection, because that's what it is to be human.
Yes, you are not alone. We are not alone. Absolutely not. Steve, I see you nodding a lot.
Also mention that I was talking about how we're both in the coping season and laughing about how the quiz came back connected. What Sandbox, I think, does is it allows us to connect, like, we're, you know, so in it in regards to, like, parenting and work and more parenting that, again, you don't have time to connect. And what Sandbox does is it's like, oh, there's a Sandbox thing tonight. Cool. And then it's like, I have to admit, I'm still a bit trepidatious sometimes, but just thinking about it makes me kind of not anxious, but I still have to kind of work through that, you know, a bit in regards to, like, talking in an open forum about your personal stuff. But I've learned to, you know, to do that. And the connection part is huge, where you might go in a bit trepidatious, but we get a chance to connect. And, you know, we probably wouldn't have done that if it weren't for, you know, the Sandbox forum, because usually after the call we talk about stuff and we have a drink. So over time I've kind of grown to look forward to these sessions, just because of, even if it's just the fact that, you know, we're able to connect. So what I'm saying is you should do it 4 times a month.
We should do it every Sunday, not just every other Sunday. So there's something that I say often, which is how you love each other today lives on through your kids and in generations to come. I wanted to ask you, what is it that you want to pass on to your kids? How they see your relationship, how they see you loving each other?
That's such a good question. I think I would say I want them to see, you know, I think I want them to see support, like the support that we give each other, and the fact that, like, I think we're pretty different. There's a lot of we have a lot of similarities, but we have a lot of differences. But the fact that you can have those differences and still be, you know, loving and supportive of each other, and also this sort of idea of, and like, this is definitely something that I don't know, I'm still working on. This whole idea of just like that unconditional, that kind of just like that loving base, the acceptance, you know, ourselves and of each other, and also, of course, of them. So I think it's like sometimes we struggle with when things get really hairy, which they do a lot around here. Sometimes we can really become like we're not on the same team. It's our default can just be to become kind of adversarial. And I think that's the number one thing that we've been working on is like, on the same team. Just like actually repeating it in moments of like we were preparing to drive back from Nova Scotia with all four kids. It's an 18-hour drive. And we were packing the car to come back. And I have one way of packing the car and Steve has another way of packing the car. And basically my dad was also involved. Yeah, he has a different way of packing the car. So he's like circling the car. Steve's packed it. I'm like, no, that's not how we can't fit anything in. I'm trying to unpack. And like, literally, I think we had to go. Steve pulled me aside and was like, same team. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, you're right. Same. I mean, I didn't admit this to his face at the moment, but inside no, I was like, didn't. Yeah, okay, you're right. Same team. Like, it's just like a pattern for us that I think we're trying to change, like a habit of, you know, in times of stress, both of us just kind of like flailing. And so I think I want them to see that, like, same team, and that respect and that support for each other, which we're definitely working on. We're working on modeling that.
It's all a work in progress.
Yeah.
It's always a work in progress. And I love that you're giving yourselves grace even as you're talking through it and being so honest. Thank you, because everybody can relate to that. And I love the same team affirmation and mantra and just coming back to that two simple words.
Yeah. Yeah. We need a lot of reminders about it. We probably should like post it up in the house somewhere or something.
I say it to them all the time. Not we're on the same team. Sometimes I say that, but love yourself and then love each other. Love yourself, love each other, love yourself, love each other. And like this morning, first thing in the morning, are we going to love each other today? Are we going to be kind to one another today? And that sounds cheesy, and it's not, because our kids fight a lot.
I was going to say, spoiler alert, they fight a lot.
Our kids never fight, you guys, and I don't think any other kids ever fight. It's just...
We got the ones that fight. Yeah, that's
No, but isn't that so true? Is that we all think, oh, everybody else's kids, they must just all get along. And thank you for saying that, because it's so true. Not every family gets along. Sibling relationships are really dynamic, and that is real.
Super complex. Super complex. It's like managing a soap opera of little humans whose brains aren't formed yet.
Yeah.
So you can quote me on that one. You can put it on the podcast title.
How about for you, Steve? What are the things that you want to pass on to your kids about your relationship?
Well, I think that's a big one is to, I think Sarah said it too, is like we have to be at ease with yourself before you can be at ease with each other. And that's, it's actually been hard for me this year because of all the stuff going on, you know, with work and the accident and renoing and just being nomadic. And then you add the pandemic on top of that and just the anxiety around, am I going to get it? The kids aren't vaxxed. When are they going to get vaxxed? We're going back to school. So it's like, there's a lot of anxiety, you know, in my life there has been in the last, you know, year or so. It's been tough to do that first step, but you have to kind of, again, sounds cheesy, but there's kind of a light at the end of the tunnel, and you just have to be aware and remind yourself that you're headed towards that, you know, that path of positivity, because it's like it's been hard, like the negativity bias is front and center for me. So just battling through that, it's been tough, but I'm getting there. And so I just try to remind them to do that, to love themselves and be happy. And you know, I really I'm super creative, and so is Sarah, and urge that, because I think creativity is a huge outlet for kids specifically, and adults, obviously, but maybe not so obviously, but for us it is. And so it's kind of like a reminder to love yourself, be creative, watch us being creative, but then to kind of love each other and be kind to one another. And, you know, Sarah and I aren't the best at that at times, right? So it's like just kind of being hyper aware of that, of kind of even, you know, when you're arguing, it's like, I'd like to think that we try to model a way of arguing that, because kids are sponges, right? A way of arguing that hopefully they can kind of look back and be like, okay, there, you know, there wasn't a lot of like, you know, 10 decibel screaming at each other. like it was in my household.
Bar. You're setting a high bar there.
No, but
how to work through conflicts, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, and yeah. Steven, we come from like, Steve comes from a household where there was a lot of conflict. I come from a household where I saw none. Now, it doesn't mean that there, obviously, that there wasn't conflict, but it never happened in front of us. And so that's actually been a huge thing for our parenting that we sort of navigate, because what I'm sort of used to and what he's used to are so different. And then we kind of have to come to this place where we're like, okay, we've realized that like really neither one of those are something we'd necessarily like to replicate. But obviously conflict happens, but showing them that like you can have conflict in like a loving, productive way, as opposed to, you know, and that also that it's normal and kind of expected, because it's just part of being in relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. I have one last question for each of you. It's very specific, and it's how we usually end our sandbox calls. And I'm going to ask, what is one thing you're grateful for about the other person that they did specifically today? Is it an easy one for you, Steve? You start. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's going to be easy for me, probably a bit more difficult for you. But so yeah, I'm freelancing from home, and the schedule's quite busy. So Sarah took the kids up to a friend of ours and went to a flower farm and also swimming. So super amazing parental points, appreciative bowing down points for you for, that's like two things you did.
It was
two major things.
Two things, yeah.
Two things. And the latter, which is swimming, got them super tuckered out. So they all came home literally 20 minutes before this recording and fell asleep. So it's like eerily quiet. I spent the day just chilling and working and, you know, drinking coffees and no disturbances.
That sounds pretty good.
So thank you for that. Super appreciative of that.
Okay. I am thankful.
This will be good.
Well, I mean, you did deal with the garbage situation, which was pretty terrible.
Raccoons.
So I am very grateful for that. Those Toronto raccoons. I bet you miss them. And they just get into everything. So I am grateful for that. But I'm also grateful for how hard you're working to provide for our family. And you're working really hard without lots of breaks. And you're having to literally move your laptop to the various places that we're living or not living. And I'm just really grateful for you kind of, you know, making that work, because I know it's not easy to the chaos that our life is. And you still have to be like on point and working, and you're still doing that. So I'm very grateful for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for taking this time today, you guys. And Sarah, thank you for, you know, getting the kids nice and tuckered so that they slept through.
We were like, you can't interrupt us. They were like, I don't understand what that means. Like, what?
Well, thank you so much for sharing so openly today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Allison. It's fun.
Thanks for tuning in to the Couplehood Podcast. It says so much about you that you're carving out this time for yourself and for your relationship. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with someone you think would love it. head over to allisonvilla.com to learn more. A special shout out to my podcast editor, Emily Millane from theultimatecreative.com. You are a rock star. All right, you guys, until next time, I'm Allison Villa, wishing you love on your couplehood journey.